All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. First up, Netsua 99 is on. Robin Roney's on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Greg Ninemon is on. Mike Griffith is on. Judy Anita is on. Volvo 960 is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Snarl Barkley is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Sparky 8142 is on. Scooter Magruder, I already said you, but you're on again. See, USA Abbey Girl is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Let me see here. Leon Fishpuppy's on. Agravain is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Texas Billy is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Sheila K is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Tim L. T. Bird is on. Spaz 64 is on. Drummer for Jesus is on. Let me see here. Prayer Works 2 is on. General Plowman is on. K4 VMS is on. Sexy Pony is on. Big Jim Go Blue. Everybody's lamenting the loss of the Dancing Banana. Gonna have to switch to another iconic figure. Let me see here. Jim Brody is on. Charlie 340 is on. Sparky 8142 is on. Stefan Toms is on. Let me see here. Granite 2468 is on. Snod.311 is on. Let me see. Milwaukee James is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Let's get right to the headline that everybody's talking about, of course, is what's happening with the FBI. Dan Bongino, Cash Patel, and Pam Bondi, you can put the first one up for me. Here it is. FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino is thinking about resigning after a clash with AG Pam Bondi over Epstein memo, according to insiders inside of the White House. Credit to Alex Jones with this. He did a special little video today. It was pretty heated. And Bongino, and most of you already know the basic facts with this, and there aren't really any, you know, deep dive facts on it, except for they got into a heated confrontation, and he took off today, and it sounds like he's threatening to resign. The false rumor was that if Bongino resigns, Patel's going to resign. That's actually a false rumor dispelled by John Solomon, so that's really not the case. But anyway, so that's, you know, that's what's happening right now. It has to do with, and here's the thing, I was actually remiss in covering this. Could have covered it last night because that's when I knew about it, but I forgot about it. But this is all about the release of the memo, the unsigned memo, approved by Bongino, allegedly, approved by Patel, allegedly. And that gets to why, one of the reasons why Bongino's so angry with Bondi. But on last Friday, there was a... which was either it was Friday the 4th, it was actually the 4th, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
So released on a holiday weekend. I believe it was like at midnight at the end of July 4th. Don't hold me to that. But it was released on last Friday, a week ago. A unsigned memo. Most of you already know all this, but this is where the anger comes from. It's not necessarily about that the Epstein files have not been released, the flight log hasn't been released, or the black book hasn't been released. It has to do with this memo because... how this memo was released, it has to be Pam Bondi who released it. And she made sure she released it unsigned by her, but approved by Patel and Bongino. And this memo, this official DOJ memo / FBI memo, was released to all places, Axios. Oh, Sunday night. Yeah, they said holiday weekend. Thanks, Aaron. So Sunday night, at the tail end of a holiday weekend to camouflage it, thank you very much. So it was released by her, and that's part of the reason why I didn't hear anything about it. I don't think I even knew about it going into Monday. So it was released Sunday night, not Friday night, Sunday night, tail end, because I heard somebody say at the, you know, during a holiday weekend. So it was at the end of the holiday weekend and released by Bondi to, of all places, Axios, which is akin to releasing it to Politico, akin to releasing it to Reuters or New York Times or, you know, Chicago Sun-Times, whatever. So it released to a left-wing outlet. Why would anybody do that? And the only person that could have done it is a DOJ insider. That's it. There's no other person that could have released it. Now it's pretty much come out that Pam Bondi released it to Axios. And people are also getting very fed up with her, all of her, her various... Fox News appearances and always, you know, dangling bait in front of everybody. I think Bongino's against all of that. If you ever listen to his show, and here's the thing, you're like, oh, Tom, now you're back on Bongino's side. No, I'm just reporting facts. Just, you know, I've adopted Aaron's black pill mentality, which is basically I don't trust a freaking soul. I don't trust Bongino. I don't trust Patel. I don't trust Trump. I certainly don't trust any Democrat. And to a little bit of a lesser extent, I don't trust any Republican. Don't trust them. It doesn't mean I don't follow them. Doesn't mean I don't support them. I just don't trust them. And like all the neocon MAGA morons, I certainly do not worship them. But anyway, so people are getting fed up with her appearances on Fox News and saying, I mean, very explicitly that she had the Epstein client list on her desk and that she was looking over it. That was the direct question asked her. She knows that now it's a cover up. Oh, I was talking about the file. That's not what she said, and it's all lies. So if you're going to go out there, you need to be professional. And all of us kind of, and I'm talking about all of us that are red-pilled, we knew that Bondi was not good. You saw me. I was trying to be supportive when Gates got sacked. I tried to be supportive, but as soon as she comes out, she comes across as a person playing a sycophantic role. It really does. Because if you ever notice her, man, she could not, and I'm trying not to be gross about kissing and licking and stuff like that, but she's one of these people. I mean, like whenever you're at the cabinet meeting, she's always right next to Trump. Tulsi Gabbard's no longer in the picture. She's been banished to the kids' table at the cabinet meetings, but Pam Bondi's always right there and could not kiss Trump's butt anymore. And allegedly, Trump loves her and Susie Wiles love her and Patel and Bongino hate her because she is a contrived person. She is a caricature of a political AG. She really is. You're like, Tom, that would make her a fake person. Really, that's what she is. Usually what happens is that people like Ted Cruz tries to be a caricature of a wise person. She's actually a caricature of a ditzy blonde. She really is. She comes across as somebody who's not very well informed, has no idea what she's talking about, and that's what she's purposely portraying. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. It's like, why would she want to purposely portray something negative? Because she doesn't know it's negative. And she comes across, I mean, it's just like the release of the binders. I mean, that was an absolute joke. We've gone over it ad nauseum. Everybody has. And she didn't know any better. She has no idea what she's talking about. She's not really a MAGA person. She was a Trump attorney handling some portion of one of his cases or whatever. Obviously, was the AG of Florida and was a good AG of Florida. And I believe a solid establishment Republican. That's who she is. And the problem with Trump is that he surrounds himself too often with these people. But anyway, so she sends out this memo to Axios. Again, you might as well send it right to Goebbels. I mean, you might as well send it right to the MSNBC. And it's on purpose. What was she doing that? I don't know, except the only thing that she could have been trying to do was deliberately cause harm to the investigators. Because poor Bongino and Patel, and it's their own doing, their demise is their own doing, went out there and both of them looked like they were under interrogation lights. Remember that interview where they both said that the Epstein death was a suicide? And if you're somebody who's ever spent any time interrogating people, you could tell Bongino was lying. Patel was a more polished liar because he lied on Capitol Hill during his confirmation hearing. I mean, bad. Okay, bad. He claimed he didn't know who Drew Peters was. He was on Drew Peters' show. Stu Peters.
Yep.
Stu Peters. He claimed he didn't know who he was, and he was on his show 9 times. I mean,
okay.
You know, Cash, can we do better than that? You just simply own it. Yeah, I was on his show. So what? Because Stu Peters, you know, they're all coming at him at an anti-Semitic level or whatever. So what? Okay, you're on a person who espouses some measure of what they deem to be anti-Semitic views. And what does Semitic even mean anymore? Since most of the people that they're claiming that you're anti-Semitic against don't qualify as Semites through their bloodlines. That's a fact. We'll get to that tonight. But anyway, it's a fact. That's an absolute fact, by the way. Where do you get to find out who Benjamin Netanyahu's real name is? Because they all change their names from Eastern European names. But anyway, so she drops this unsigned memo to Axios on Sunday night. And then then the poop storm begins and all the people like me and everybody else. And I mean, again, I'll end up with maybe 1,000 people watching tonight, something like that. 685, seven. Oh, I'm also on Christian Television Network. So there's probably 1,000 or 2,000 people watching right now, but it's not me. It's the Alex Joneses of the world. And it's 385,000 live on Twitter alone. Okay. And it all goes out and it's Charlie Kirk and everything else because Charlie Kirk decided to be conservative again. You know, everybody had finally had, they've all finally reached their line. And again, I have no problem with Charlie Kirk. I have a problem with what Charlie Kirk espoused with the Iranian bombing. And I don't have a problem with some of you that are watching right now that were for the Iranian bombing. As long as you didn't call those of us who were against the Iranian bombing fake MAGA.
Right.
Because I wasn't calling you fake MAGA for wanting a new war, even though you're claiming it wasn't a new war, even though it was. But whatever. We can agree to disagree. But, and see how that is? You're not fake MAGA because we haven't agreed on one aspect to trust Trump policy. And Charlie Kirk wasn't like that either. He wasn't calling anybody fake MAGA. You get on to Laura Loomer, who is now fake MAGA because she's against what Trump's doing with Epstein. But I'm fake MAGA because I was, but she deemed me to be fake MAGA because I was against Trump on Iran. Right. So how is she not fake MAGA now for being against Trump on Epstein? So people just don't apply their own rules to themselves, which drives me crazy. But Charlie Kirk has decided to go back to being the red pill person that he is, and he normally is, and hardcore person that he normally is. And him and like, I forgot his name again, the persistence Scott on, the persistence on Twitter, Scott.
Scott Pressler.
Pressler, thanks, buddy. Yep. Scott Pressler on Twitter. They won the election for us. I mean, and Elon Musk. Those three people won the election. They really did. Trump would have won without any of them, but the cheat wouldn't have been too big to rig then. Those three made it too big to rig. Charlie Kirk, Scott Pressler, and Elon Musk. They did. That's a fact. And whether Trump wants to acknowledge that about Elon Musk, and Elon Musk burned it to the ground. I mean, when you go and you say Trump's on the Epstein in the Epstein files, and he knows, and Elon knows what he meant with that. He didn't mean on the Epstein client list. He meant somewhere in there, Trump's in the Epstein files, as is everybody that has anything to do with Mar-a-Lago, Palm Beach, New York City, Harvard, anything else, culture, or DNC culture, or Israeli culture. They're all in the Epstein file. But anyway, Charlie Kirk decided, because this is where everybody's red line was, because allegedly Trump was sending out messengers from the FBI telling conservative influencers that if you're going to keep coming against me with Epstein, you're not going to have access to the White House anymore. But a lot of people are like, even Loomer, were like, I got to stand here, because if I don't stand here, if you have 500,000 followers on Twitter, if I stand with Trump on this and I pretend like Epstein never happened, then I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose half my audience. If I come against Trump, then I'll lose 100,000. So you had to count the cost, and all these people did. And everybody pretty much has said, you know, we need to expose them. People are getting tired of the Epstein story. Well, listen, I invite you. Listen, I really do. I invite you to go on any platform right now and see what they're discussing. I mean, if you went to Turning Point today, that's all that they were talking about. One guest after another coming onto the stage. That's what they're talking about. I mean, every single guest they had, whether it was Bannon, Natalie Winters, Anna Paulina Luna, Jack Posobiec. There was one other that I saw. Everybody's talking about. So that's the news. It's simply the news. So you simply you talk about it. And Trump blew it on this. He blew it. And guess what? He'll do 500 great things and make up for it. Probably. He probably will, because he always has. And that's why you didn't see me burn it down like you saw other people. I mean, I've seen other pundits come out. I mean, even like Nick Fuentes comes out and says, you know, I'm no longer a MAGA guy. Well, he wasn't a MAGA guy in 2024. He didn't vote for Trump.
Right.
So that's kind of a pointless statement. But you didn't hear me say that. Because, you know, again, for me, it's all when you're dealing with human beings, you're dealing in percentages, not absolutes. When you're dealing with Jesus, you're dealing with the Word of God, then you're dealing with absolute. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. For I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. So, I mean, with them, they never change. But with people, it's a percentage basis. And you decide whether or not that you can handle that person's deficits in your own eyes. So, anyway, that's the precipice behind what happened behind Bondi versus Bongino. So, he didn't like how it was released. He hasn't liked the general handling of the Epstein files and what's gone on, the dangling it in front of the public and all that. Because if you ever were a fan of Dan Bongino, which of course I was, and I listened to his podcast, pretty much never missed one of his podcasts. Pretty much watching him, Alex Jones, and Steve Bannon. Now I'm down to Bannon and Alex Jones, but which is fine. But I'm just, if you listen to him, Dan Bongino has taken serious stance. One of the very few people that came out and said he's wrong about COVID, wrong about the vaccines. So a man that appeared to be a man of integrity, maybe he is. I don't know. I hope that he is. But that's the problem here. So let's go to this. Grace Jong video. Breaking news. Reports about Kash Patel and Dan Bongino considering resigning is not true from John Solomon. Play for me.
What do you got for us, brother? We got a big live audience for you.
There are reports out there tonight that Kash Patel is considering resigning alongside of Dan Bongino. It is not true. My reporting makes very clear. Kash Patel is going nowhere unless the president tries to move Kash Patel. He's there for the long haul. Why is that? Because the FBI has a major investigation that looks at the last 10 years of what happened to Donald Trump as one large conspiracy case. No one's going to give that opportunity up. Now, it is true that Dan Bongino, he's taking a few days to reconsider whether he wants to stay in the job. That's his decision. He's gone through these things before. There have been times when he's been on radio. He got mad, took a couple days off. I bet you he'll come back when it's all done. But Kash Patel is going nowhere. And I think next week, over the next 10 days, the base who's been wondering, where's all that accountability? They're going to get some big surprises over the next week concerning where the conspiracy began a few weeks before Crossfire Hurricane was open, and when it ended, all the way in 2024, when they were still trying to pursue Donald Trump to keep him from winning the presidency. There's a big case that's been built by the Justice Department and the FBI. It's been masked by a lot of this infighting and drama and soap opera stuff, but the truth of the matter is MAGA base Americans are going to be happy when they see where this is all heading in the next few weeks. Kash Patel's going nowhere. I hope Dan Bongino isn't going anywhere, but I do think he's going to take some time over the weekend to think that through.
Now, when John Solomon from Just the News tells you something, you can pretty much rely on it. I mean, because they, I mean, you're talking about somebody like Alex Jones, who has what we call assets or informers, whatever you want to call it. He has lots of insiders, lots of sources inside of the White House that are telling him what's going on. So it is for sure that Bongino is considering whether or not he should resign. But Kash Patel is not resigning because they are doing basically a consensus investigation on all that's what you're hearing about Comey, Clapper, and Brennan, whether it reaches down to Strzok, Page, collusion hoax, impeachment hoax, 1-6, the bombings at the DNC, all of the various hoaxes. Allegedly, they're looking into all this. And as you heard John Solomon say in that video, there's supposed to be big news breaking. I can tell you that when John Solomon tells you that, because John Solomon certainly isn't a clickbait warrior. He is not. He's simply a newsman. Do I agree with everything John Solomon says? 90%, yeah. He just pretty much comes out and tells you what's going on. So you can pretty much bank on it, and it appears that there's going to be some breaking news going on about what's happening with the FBI, basically 10-year investigation into the persecution of Donald Trump, which needs to happen under the statute of conspiracy of rights. And then see how the statute of limitation plays out in various statutes and various charges. But anyway, so that's really what's happening right now with this. And we'll see what Bongino does. Tom, make a prediction. I think Bongino comes back. Bongino and Patel are very close. They are close friends. I think Bongino comes back. Aaron's the only one on the planet who wouldn't watch him if he came back on and did like a podcast right now. Aaron and I were just talking about it. Because I said, if Bongino went on Twitter right now, how many of you would like, every one of you would leave my show and go watch it. As a matter of fact, I'd cancel my show and go watch it. I'd watch the show. That would be my podcast, all of us watching the show together. Because I'd want it like election night. So, I mean, because I'd want to hear what Bongino has to say. And if he went back right now and started up, the Bongino podcast, it'd be huge. It'd be absolutely huge. And he'd be able, and everybody would forget about this after a little while anyway, because that's just the nature of humanity. But anyway, so that's the essence of it. We'll see how it pans out. I don't see that there's too much more to it than this. You know, for me, this is a giant, giant debacle. It really is. I don't know what happened with Elon. Elon handled the breakup worse than Trump, because he did the Epstein thing. We don't really know. There's assertions, But yeah, you know, these are big losses though. But really, it's quintessential Brooklynite New Yorker. Just so you know, it really is. And I'll be honest with you, it's really quintessential Tom Lipley. People are always, you know, coming and going. I mean, if you stand your ground and some, maybe, you know, I never think I'm wrong, but I'm just saying, maybe sometimes you're wrong, maybe sometimes you're right. But listen, I'm not friends with anybody that I was friends with 20 years ago. I'm not. I mean, I have some college friends or whatever that we're, you know, Facebook friends somewhat or whatever, but I don't hang around with them. But I mean, I'm not. So to even falsely accuse Trump and say, you know what, you ruin a lot of relationships. Well, I mean, when you're dealing in hardcore things, when your relationship is, you know, going to baseball games and play dates, okay, you might be able to maintenance those relationships. But when you're dealing in church, like you're telling people about heaven and hell, you're talking about finances in the church and tithing and kids and how you raise your kids and spank, don't spank, whatever it may be. And you're actually just preaching at people and preaching to people. Okay, you're going to lose people. And when you're dealing in a presidential administration and people want what they want and you can't give it to them, that happens in church all the time too. People think, you know what, I gave a big donation, so I'm going to have the front row named after me, the Tom Lipley Memorial Row. Okay, no, it's not going to happen. Well, I'm offended then. Okay, goodbye. Have a nice life. You want your money back? And by the way, cram it up your rear end on your way out. And, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. That's how it is. It's in law enforcement. You're going to be friends with every person you get in contact with? No, because you have to arrest people. You're an authoritarian figure, an authoritative figure. So, I mean, that's just the way that that's the way that it is. So Elon Musk, I think it was a combination of things. I think it had nothing to do. I think it's a false accusation. You're like, Tom, why are you talking about this? Because we're talking about big breakups right now. But I mean, Bongino leaves the administration. I mean, Donald Trump and Dan Bongino are close friends. They are friends. Actually, Bongino doesn't classify them as close friends, but he calls them. They are, in fact, friends. And they do see each other on a regular basis outside of work before Trump took office again. So, you know, we're talking about breakups. So Elon Musk, I don't think it had anything to do with subsidies for Tesla. He is on the record for years saying that he didn't have any interest in them, and he was actually calling for them all to be canceled. But I do think it had to do with his good buddy that he wanted to be in charge of NASA. Because that's where you really tick people off, is when you deal with either them or a relative personally. I mean, other things, I can just tell you from, you know, the church here is about 1,000 people. And I can tell you from years of experience that you can preach a lot of things to people and they're okay with it. But until it specifically applies to them personally, or you have to tell somebody who can't sing that they can't be on the worship team, or that they can't play the guitar so they can't be a guitar player, or you're a mean, nasty, moody person so you can't be a greeter, right, or you look like a pedo so you can't go work with kids. So, I mean, and of course, I've never said that. I would have softened it a little bit. But, I mean, I've had to tell people, you know, that you don't qualify for these positions. And that's just the way that it is. And when it's personal, or you have to go and tell somebody that their kid is not good enough to be on the worship team, yeah, or whatever it is, that then it becomes personal. And then it's basically over. So that's what I think. That's just my opinion. I have no proof of any of this, pure conjecture. But I think that's what happened with Elon, was when he finally postured his friend. That would be very beneficial for him if he was in charge of NASA, NASA director. And Trump poo-pooed that. And Susan Wiles does not like Elon. Okay, and Susie is what they call her. Yes, Susie Wiles. Donald Trump calls her the Ice Princess. So, I mean, again, and majorly influenced by the Israeli lobby. But anyway, so, I mean, that's, and Elon is not majorly influenced by the Israeli lobby. So, I mean, that's, you know, who knows what, but these are major breakups, but it's really no different than what Trump always does. You got Anthony Scaramucci, who was the press secretary for one day.
Yeah.
Fired. And now Anthony Scaramucci every single day writes negative things about Donald Trump every single day for the rest of his life. So, I mean, that's just what happens. So, I mean, it's just part of being Donald Trump. It's part of being me. You know, I won't hesitate to just, you know, shake duffs off my feet with people. Bye. I mean, it doesn't mean I don't love you, but I mean, I'm like, if it's not this relationship is not mutually beneficial, you know, have a good life. And, you know, because nobody misses each other. You just move on. It's just life. It's the way it is. All right. So anyway, let's go on to the next thing. Let's go to this. Let's go to some econ stuff. Then we're going to jump to the border. All right. Eric Doherty video. Huge news. Trump administration removes $40 billion in taxpayer dollars benefits for illegal aliens. Play for me.
All right. Also today, the Trump administration is doing away with many taxpayer-funded benefits for illegal immigrants. Among some of those benefits ending, free tuition, food assistance programs, Head Start, access to federal workforce development grants. The White House says the move will preserve roughly $40 billion in benefits for American citizens.
See, again, you have, it's a relationship. So you, the one day you're talking about how what a debacle the Epstein situation is. And then the next day, you're talking about the great things. How different is that than with your wife? You know, you say something, I don't like what you're doing. Okay, you get a divorce? No. And she says, she didn't like what you're doing? You get a divorce? No. You just simply say, I don't like it. And you decide whether or not, you know what, whether or not we can agree to disagree. So here's it. Now look at the great things that Trump is doing. Trump administration ends taxpayer-funded benefits for illegal aliens. Ending free tuition. Restricting food assistance programs. Restricting access to Head Start. It's $40 billion now has been cut. I mean, this is a big deal. But Tom, you blasted him on the big, beautiful bill because he deserves it. There's great things in the big, beautiful bill, but there is deficit and debt spending to the tune of $2.3 trillion. But here's an offset to it. This isn't part of the big, beautiful bill. So this comes off. It's part of how you can question the CBO accounting because the CBO doesn't take into account these administrative, really economic sanctions that Donald Trump is doing to his own administrative branch, restricting access to Head Start, barring access to workforce developmental grants. Why in the world were we ever giving these things to illegals? Nobody knows. Doesn't make any sense. The reason why is all of this was funneled through NGOs, so Democrats were getting rich, dispensing a small amount of money. They're getting paid a large amount of money to dispense a minute amount of money, and Trump has axed it all. Let's go to the next one. I mean, therefore I am video. The Democrat mayor, I played this last night, and you guys are going to play both of these in a row. So I meme, therefore I am, video, the Democrat mayor of Paris, California. And then we're going to go to MJ Truth Ultra video, Cal State LA move toward COVID-like online classes. If we're wondering why, and most of you saw the marijuana farm footage today from the ICE raid of the marijuana farm where they found underage workers, which shocking, that were brought here by the Biden administration. But and all the violence that went on there. This is why that violence is occurring. Play it for me.
The city of Paris has received reports of ongoing ICE operations within the area. We urge all residents to remain calm, stay indoors when possible, and know your rights. Do not go out unless necessary. Stay at home and do not open the door to strangers. This message is for awareness and safety. The city is committed to protecting the dignity and well-being of all our residents. Please stay safe and continue to monitor official city communications.
Cal State LA has decided to allow their classes to move online amid student concerns over the ongoing immigration raids. Leaders at the university say that professors can now arrange for more excused absences and alternative makeup work after students have expressed fear of commuting to school and taking public transportation. Faculty also have the option of working remotely now. There have been no reported raids on the campus. It's unclear if the majority of classes will be online when the fall semester begins, which is next month.
Tell me that doesn't sound just like COVID. Right? That sounds like your old church in Cincinnati right there. I mean, just like it. I mean, here's what it is. Stay home. Stay home for safety. This is all to avoid being righteously arrested and detained for being here illegally. I don't mean to be redundant, but it's just like the example that I used last night. If you had mass looting, I'll just pick on Brent while we're here, in the city of Cincinnati, and you had, 10,000 suspects for a BLM riot, and they were looting every Nike store and every Apple store in the name of George Floyd. You know, when somebody gets killed by the police, even though he wasn't killed by the police, you get social justice by looting stores. You didn't understand? You don't get that? That's how it works. But anyway, so you have mass looting. Say there's 10,000 suspects in the city of Cincinnati, and the mayor of Cincinnati comes out and says, or the school board comes out, and both come out, and they say, stay at home because we don't want you rearrested for looting. Stay safe from local law enforcement because we don't want to be arrested. We don't want you to be arrested from looting. Well, that's different, Tom. They committed a crime. So did they. All of these people are here illegally, so they deserve it. And the leaders, whether it's the mayor of Paris, California, or Cal State LA telling people to stay home for safety, quote, stay safe, monitor city communications. You can do remote and Zoom learning from home. This is just like COVID. It's the same playbook over and over and over again. Whenever they can institute it, they do. Whenever they can roll out their totalitarian ways, they love it. They can't help themselves. Stay at home. Stay safe. You can learn remotely. Monitor city communications for when you should take your mask on, off, 5 feet apart, 6 feet apart, quarantine, whatever it may be. Take your next vaccination. They love it. These people, they love controlling people. And they're actually trying to keep them in the country. But that is really what it is akin to doing. 10,000 looters, tell them stay at home. Stay safe from law. Safe means not be righteously arrested. That's what they're telling them. Stay safe. Safe to a Democrat in 2025 means to not be righteously arrested and deported. All right, so here's what happened in California today. And Babylon Bee put out an excellent meme today that Gavin Newsom has declared the state of California a sanctuary state so that you can, because it's a sanctuary state where you cannot be prosecuted for illegal child labor. Citizen Free Press video, ICE immigration raid at marijuana farm in Ventura County. Here's the launch video. Play for me.
They took your mom.
What a fake. I mean, what a... he's purposely covering his face so that you can't tell that he's actually not crying about the mother who wasn't deported. These people are so pathetic. Absolutely so pathetic. So this is a marijuana grow farm, for one thing. Bad enough. And then they found many underage workers here that were facilitated into the country by Joe Biden's DHS, by Alejandro Mayorkas. Let's go to the next one. All three of these are Citizen Free Press. Illegal aliens, here's how they responded to this righteous raid. Play for me. Couple thoughts on this guy, Brent here tonight, another fellow law enforcement officer, and both of us have years of law enforcement. And here's the thing, and I could tell from his response, and you just always kind of bounce it off other cops and see where they stand. But anyway, you know, there comes a point, guys, in ICE, you're going to have to stop your vehicle, get out with your guns. Okay, well, I don't know what you're doing here, okay, but you can't take boulders to your car and to your vehicle. Look at that. I mean, you cannot do that and not return fire.
No.
You're going to have to do something with this. Okay. You cannot drive off. Okay. If anything, get safe, spin around, U-turn it, get out. And these people all need to be arrested. And if they're not arrested, you need to hunt them down and arrest that guy right there. Needs to go to prison for the rest of his life right there. But I mean, look right there. That's open fire. That is, that's a statute in the state of Florida called throwing a deadly missile as a felony. All right, look at the windows are busted out. You need to return fire. And that guy, if you're being blocked by individuals, run them over. Run them freaking over. The only thing you need to feel is thump. That's it. Run them over. I mean, we're going to have to get to this place. Okay, these are illegal aliens throwing boulders at our law enforcement officials at the behest of the Democratic mayor of Perris, California, and the overall National Democratic Party, telling them basically to do all these things. We've had Tesla firebombed. We have all of this going on. We have a 700% increase in injuries to ICE agents and attacks on ICE agents. So this needs to end. And it comes to place, and I'll make this nice and Spanish for everybody, where you need to open fuego. Okay, because this cannot go on. And it shows you the violence of these people. Oh, no, all the illegal aliens, and again, you use the word illegal and then say that they don't commit any crimes. All the illegal aliens don't commit nearly as many crimes as Americans. You show me where Americans are doing this. Just show it to me. I'd love to see it. I mean, and again, it's not happening. In law enforcement, you've got to take a stand. You're going to have to take a stand. Everybody is so afraid of the consequences of taking a stand. You cannot simply drive away from this. No. You cannot. You're going to have to stand your ground. All right, let's go to the next one. Citizen Free Press video. Further proof that Democrats are savages. So you had one guy come out here and stand and say, you know what? This is a righteous raid. This is what should be going on. And this is how he's treated. Play for me.
And that supporter was not really met with a lot of other support. You see him basically have some water look like dumped on him and being taunted, more water thrown, people waving a Mexican flag in his face as they walk through America.
They wanted to get him out of here.
The guy punched?
It got nasty. It got nasty. We followed it for a while because we wanted to keep an eye on him. He was by himself.
Wow.
And I didn't see the beginning of it, but I did see when people started talking back to him, and he started trying to make it to his car. And as you can see, it got quite nasty. At one point, people were going after him. Now, I have to say that's the only person like that we have seen here. And he did make it to his car near the end. People were saying, let him go, let him go. We don't want to hurt somebody. We don't want to be seen like this.
Yeah,
so even within the protesters, there's that dissent of, don't get violent, don't overdo it. But definitely when it is hot like it is today, when people are tired, things are going to happen. But the man did get in his car and he did drive away. That we did see. But after, after being forcefully pushed out of here, very forcefully.
You hear her, you can tell she has like a Latin accent. She's trying to equivocate what they did. I mean, there's no equivocating it. He was violently assaulted. Now, while he's there, listen, if you're going to go to something like that, you need to have more than a dad bod on your side. All right. I mean, again, I would never go to anything like that. I mean, you're outnumbered, 150-1. So you might not want to go there and instigate these people. It's kind of a stupid move. I appreciate protest, but you saw all the cars pulled on the side of the road. They're all there responding to the doxing of ICE. Somebody inside of DHS, inside of ICE, inside of CBP is sending out these raids, is notifying the public about these raids. Because if you saw it in the background there, you can see all the cars along that road where you later saw the ICE vehicles being hit by boulders. So they knew that this was going to happen. This guy shows up, and all those people are there to protest. Some of them also may be there to work. We saw the Mexican flags, as always, all that stuff going on. You don't want to go out there, especially if all that you have going for you is a dad bod. I mean, he got knocked out basically with one slap. He barely can get up, can barely get away. If you can run, like Brent can run like the wind. If you can like run like the wind, maybe. Because a lot of those people, they're fat as can be. They're not going to be able to catch you. So, but it's just showing up and doing that. But the equivocating from the media, I'm like, they should have been stunned into silence. They should have been like, this is a horrible thing. They actually sit there and start to make excuses for the people that are violently assaulting another human being. All right, let's go to the next one. Nick Sorter tweet. More from the border. Just in, DHS has confirmed they received $6.1 billion. This isn't part of the BBB to hire 8,000 Border Patrol agents and CBP officers. Great job, Donald Trump. Again, let's go. And listen, I know you're like, Tom, you don't like all the money being spent. If you're going to spend this money, then you've got to cut it somewhere else. That's my point. And you're telling me we can't cut $6.15 billion out of funding NGOs? We certainly can, because we're still funding them, folks, just so you know. The very NGOs that are fighting against our free speech rights, that are funding abortions, that are funding anti-American organizations all over the globe and funding Democratic Party politicians and Democratic Party institutions all around the globe, we're still funding them. Cut that. Cut their $6.15 billion so that this is a net zero gain on our debts and deficits. But this is if you're going to spend it, this is a great place to spend it. 8,000, not IRS agents, they're cut. those 78,000, that's cut. 8,000 new Border Patrol agents. Our border is already 96% closed, and Trump's adding 8,000. Not border facilitators under Alejandro Mayorkas, but border guards that won't allow people to go across, not people facilitating them across the southern border. Great job, Donald Trump. Go to the next one for me. Tim Graham video. Scott Jennings gets tagged for the first time by PolitiFact. He just eviscerates this person. But there's a little point in this that I wanted to discuss. Play for me.
This isn't a spending bill. It's a reconciliation bill, and it's largely a tax bill that makes the tax cuts permanent, adds tax cuts for working class Americans. On the Medicaid piece, though, there's obviously going to be a big debate about this. I mean, there are like almost 5 million able-bodied people on Medicaid who simply choose not to work. They spend 6 hours a day socializing and watching television. And if you can't get off grandma's couch and work, I don't want to pay for your welfare.
I don't know where you're getting those numbers.
CBO
says there are 5 million Americans who are sitting on their couch watching television.
Regardless, this CBO, this kicks 17
that you
million,
just cited.
This kicks 17 million people off of.
False.
17 million
people. The numbers that we have.
Well, give me the numbers
just so that we're all on the same page.
Level set it from the
same. Let's level set. And the numbers that we have, Senate version, 11.8 million people left uninsured by 2034. The House version is 10.9 million.
All right, so that's the point. That's what I wanted to show you. And if you guys could, you put that next pic for me from the video. So here it is. So this is my point. I've already talked about the negative sides of the big beautiful bill ad nauseum. So I'm not going to do that. I just want to talk about the Democratic Party talking point here espoused by several Democratic Party pundits on CNN. All of them, it's 5-1 against Scott Jennings. And he espouses that there's 1.4 billion people, million people being kicked off of Medicaid. That is in fact correct. And he gets challenged by the host saying, where do you get those numbers? The CBO, which is not right-leaning, by the way. That's the Congressional Budget Office. That's another like Senate proletariat. That's where you're seeing. See the numbers from the House and the numbers from the Senate. The numbers from the Senate are from the Senate proletariat. The numbers from the House are from the CBO. So Congressional Budget Office. Neither one of those. I mean, the Senate parliamentarian has said something else, but parliamentarian is what I meant. I think I said proletariat. Parliamentarian. It was appointed by a Democrat many years ago, by Harry Reid many years ago. So that's who the Senate parliamentarian is. That's where those numbers come from. And then you have the Congressional Budget Office, which are all deep state establishment swamp hacks. That's where they come up with the numbers. That's why you hear like Scott Bessent and Trump saying, don't believe the assessments on the big, beautiful bill. I believe what Massey says about it. And I believe it does debt and deficit spend, but maybe the revenues will overcome it. That's what Bessent and Trump says. And so far, when you're bringing in $300 billion of tariff revenue, they might be right. We will find out. I don't think so. And Aaron and I will put up the debt clock every night until we see it go down. But anyway, and not to malign Trump, because that's what's true. So here you have these numbers. So Scott Jennings espouses 1.4 million people are being kicked off of Medicaid. The Democratic Party morons say 17 million people. And Scott Jennings says, is asked, where do you get your number from? From the Congressional Budget Office. And they just immediately cast that away as if it means nothing. But that's actually factual data. Because there's 1.4 million people that are being kicked off of Medicaid. All of them are the following. Listen, all 100% of them are either illegal aliens or able-bodied people refusing to work. Does everybody get it? Aaron, that's clear,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Are every single one of the one? There's no 17 million. There's no 15 million. And I'm going to go over these numbers in just a second. There's none of that. There's 1.4 million people, which will save hundreds of billions and billions of dollars. Hundreds of billions of dollars. This year alone, in this upcoming fiscal year, by kicking all of these, I mean, 1.4 million people. I mean, you may not be aware of this. I've been involved with government meetings before. Oh my gosh, folks. I was on his truancy board, and you'll have a family come in. As a cop, I was on his truancy board. And you'll have a family of five come in. They're in one working, husband, wife, three, four kids. Everybody's got the latest cell phone, and there ain't one soul working. You're talking about 10 grand a month going to these people. I'm not kidding you. 10 grand a month. That's one family in Sarasota County, Florida. 10 grand a month. And they purposely keep their kids failing in high school so that they stay in high school longer, and they keep ripping off the system because you can legally stay in high school in the state of Florida till you're 21. Good for you. So, I mean, that's what they do. Okay, so somebody needs to address it, and that's what they're doing here. Again, check mark to the Trump administration. Great job. Kudos to the Trump administration. This is what you're supposed to do. So let's address these ridiculously stupid numbers put out by the parliamentarian and the CBO. So here it is. 11.8. Get this, Aaron. You'll love this. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
So how would these people know 11.8 million more people left uninsured in 2034? How would they ever know that? I would love to see the calculus behind that number, because that's what the idiots on CNN are espousing. They're not, but you heard the other Bakary Sellers. I mean, you couldn't be any, the only person dumber than him is Ketanji Brown Jackson. So anyway, so he's espousing 17 million people. This is where he's getting that number from. Okay. But they don't say, because they're saying none of them say 17 million total from now until 2034. They just say 17 million people are going to be kicked off. Who comes up with these numbers? It's very akin to carbon dating.
Yeah.
This tree is 740 billion years old. Okay, explain to me how you came up with that number. Show me the calculus. It's like all the climate change, quote unquote, math that always is dispelled. How in the world would anybody be able to determine that Trump's big, beautiful bill that's knocking 1.4 million people off of Medicaid? Now, we're not even talking about Medicare. We're only talking about really what is the welfare system of the Medicare system, of the medical industrial complex. They're being kicked off, and most of them, all of them are illegals or able-bodied people. How in the world would the Senate parliamentarian or the Congressional Budget Office ever be able to come up with these numbers, that they are able to somehow prophetically come up with a number that 11.8 million more people are going to be left uninsured in 2034? 9 years from now. How in the world would they? I would love to see how they do that. Just, I mean, this is where I miss cussing so bad. I know you hear me say that a lot, because you really want to put that sort of profane emphasis on it, but you can't as a believer, because shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know, that's just the way that it is. That's the word of God. You need to obey it as I do. 2 Timothy 2:16. But now you yourself start to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Colossians 3:8. That's the Bible. All right. So anybody who espouses, well, I'm a Christian cusser. No, you're a dum-dum. Okay. Who doesn't know what the Bible says. But anyway, and that, by the way, you're joining the 99% of all Christians. But anyway, so in the House version, 10.9 million more people are going to be left uninsured in 2034. How would they ever come up with that number? They're just making it up out of whole cloth. That's what it is. They're just making it up out of whole cloth. That's where these numbers come from. They're just made up by people. And I'm just assuming on the Senate side, that I know that the House version of CBO, I'm assuming that it's Senate parliamentarian for the left, I mean, for the Senate, but I don't know that for sure. Maybe they've got some sort of Senate budget office. I don't know. I'm just assuming that. So that's just an assumption, conjecture on my part. But obviously the Senate comes up with these numbers. How? Who? What? How are you able to project that 11.8 million more people are going to be uninsured because of Donald Trump's 1.5 billion person cut out of Medicaid, which, Aaron, by the way, is not insurance. it's just so ridiculous. This is what we are run by. And you know why they put out these numbers? I mean, you already know the answer. The reason why they put out these numbers is for their own financial benefit, because streams of finances get to them somehow by espousing numbers like this. So the endless circle bleep symbiote continues on, so that the CBO, because a lot of these Democrats, like this Bakary Sellers on this panel, will espouse, no, none of those people are on Medicaid. No, that's actually correct. They're not on Medicaid. They're being funded by NGOs that are funded by Medicaid. So, you know, they are obviously still on, they're on Medicaid, but not directly in a Potomac two-step sort of way. They're not. But they're on NGO, Medicaid-funded NGO money. So they can say that it's not Medicaid money, but all that money is going to illegals and or able-bodied people. Hey, let's skip the next one for me. Let's change subjects. I've had enough of this. But anyway, I got to show you this because it's too good. Not to show you. We're going to the own video, OAN video. You guys good over there?
Yep.
All right, we're good. All right. So own video. Here's the latest on Brigitte Macron. Play it for me.
The surgeon who promised to give an interview about the sex change of Brigitte Macron was found dead in Paris. And get this, Tim. He, I guess, fell out of a window.
Hate it when that happens. You know, I hate it when that happens, when, you know, big people who are accused of having the sex change of a clearly what is a man, who is the wife of the president of France, happen to fall out of windows. This happens. What happened to the chef? Remember the chef who was a skilled swimmer who drowned out back of the Obama's house up in Martha's Vineyard? This just seems to happen a lot to these people. Yes. You know, I always thought that, like, wasn't air traffic controller the highest rate of but what would you call it? Like decisedness?
Mortality rate.
There you go. The highest mortality rate. I'm not a smart man. I don't know these terms. It just seems like working for these powerful people who may or may not be women is the highest mortality rate in all the business right now.
And another one gone, and another one gone, and another one bites the dust. There we are. Here it is. Another person dies. Amazing, isn't it? Virginia Gouffre died, who has the evidence on Epstein. And now the one who actually performed the sex change operation on Brigitte Macron. I mean, I'm telling you, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be, yes. But when we actually find out how many lies we were told in the absolute, I need that first page only, right there. When we actually find out everything that was a lie that we were told was true, I mean, when we find about the Gulf of Tonkin, Bay of Pigs, Pearl Harbor, Winston Churchill's relationship with Adolf Hitler in the 1930s, how Hitler was, like, screwed over. Hitler's still a horrible person, but so is Winston Churchill. That's just how it is. I mean, one person gets to be a hero, designated by the globalist as a hero. One person gets designated as a villain, and they both were. And Hitler was worse than Winston Churchill, but they're both mass murderers. And, you know, Pearl Harbor, they knew about it a week in advance and cleared out all the carriers. I mean, that's just the way that is. That's what it's called, sacrificing pawns. It's actually part of the globalist linguistic communications. That's how they communicate with one another. But here you have the surgeon who promised to give an interview about the sex change of Brigitte Macron falls out of a window. You know, the high odds of falling out of a window. Have you ever known one person's ever fallen out of a window in your life? That's an adult. Who as an adult falls out of a window? Well, I mean, what exactly are you doing to the place where you fall out of a window? Most windows, by the way, have some sort of balcony, and the other ones aren't accessible to fall out of. So how exactly do you fall out of a window? And it's amazing. We have Epstein, who just, you know, kills himself right after he hires an attorney and believes he's on the verge of being acquitted. I mean, you know, when you're about to be acquitted and taken out of jail, that's when you hang yourself, right?
On suicide watch.
Yeah, you're on suicide watch, and none of the cameras work, and all the guards are asleep, and, you know, whatever. Yeah, so, I mean, and a minute worth of videos missing, but don't worry, because Pam Bondi, Ditzy Blonde, says that happens every night. I mean, how much more? I get going to Hussein's chef, who is a good swimmer, dies in basically water he could walk out of. He's out there paddleboarding. Who drowns in a pond paddleboarding? There's no alligators. It wasn't Florida. You know, I mean, again, so it's Martha's Vineyard is where it was. You know, the people who believe in climate change. That's supposed to be underwater by now, but they keep buying all the beachfront property. It's strange how that works too. But here's another one. You know, about to give an interview and reveal to him, you know what? I lopped off or added on or whatever he did to Brigitte. And he just falls out of a window. Amazing. I love what they said in there. What, you know, it's just a high probability case. It happens all the time. People just fall out of windows. You know, doctors, highly educated doctors who actually perform sex change surgeries are stupid enough to actually fall out of a building, fall out of a window down to the, you know, and of course it's a high, nobody falls out of a window from 10 feet up. He falls out of a building from 7 stories up. Hey, let me go to this one. Go to the next one for me. George Santos tweet. I had to cover this. George Santos, at the end of this month, trying to remember what date it is. I think it's maybe the 18th. No, I think it may be the 27th, something like that. At the end of this month, he has to actually report to prison. I'm heading to prison, folks. And some of you, and this is one of those other things. Now, George Santos, is he a good guy? No, he's not. Does he deserve 7 years and 3 months in prison? 7 years in prison for what? Well, that's what we're going to discuss, because everybody else on the Democratic side who commits far more heinous crimes. I mean, you have right now, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she has $1 million missing out of her campaign. It's into the wind. It's disappeared into the ether. You have no idea, but there's no criminal charges. There's no investigation. There's nothing. George Santos, on the other hand, I'll go over all of his numbers. She has $1 million missing. He was ordered to pay back $600,000. And he's going to prison for 7.5 years. So he says, I'm heading to prison, folks. I need you to hear this loud and clear. I'm not suicidal. I'm not depressed. I have no intentions of harming myself. I will not willingly engage in any sexual activity. While I'm in there, he is a out of the closet gay man, actually married to another man. If anything comes out suggesting otherwise, consider it a lie. Full stop. So statistics around what happens to gay men in BOP custody are, it's Bureau of Prisons, are horrifying, and that's exactly why he's being sent to a medium security prison. He should be sent to a day camp is where he should be sent. I mean, George Santos is as much a threat to any human being as a butterfly. Seriously. Why? And that's exactly why I'm putting this out there now. So if something does happen, there's no confusion. I did not kill myself. So just leave this up for me. July 25th. Thanks, Aaron. He goes to prison July 25th. Has to report to the BOP on July 25th. So anyway, let's just leave all this up for me. So what does Santos do exactly? People think that he committed all these heinous crimes. Most people who committed the crimes that he committed get probation, as is his treasurer. Because this is all financial stuff coming from his, and people get confused about this stuff. When you have a campaign, that money is discretionary. Is basically a discretionary account for you. I mean, yes, there's limits, but you can continue to hold on to that money as long as you're in office, because you're gonna have the next campaign. So you're, you know, that's how Eric Swalwell travels the entire globe. We're so blessed to see him shirtless with his moops bouncing around, riding a camel. You know, we're real blessed to see that. So that's how Eric Swalwell is able to afford five-star this and five-star that around the globe. It's his campaign finances. That's what Ilhan Omar gave to is not the right word, but allotted to her current husband, the one that's not her brother. These are the wonderful people that are in charge of this country.
Yeah.
That are our elected employees. I'm stealing that from somebody, but I can't remember who. But anyway, she gave $3.1 million to her husband for consultancy fees for her last campaign. So this is how the real world works, and that's why all these big, beautiful bill NGOs need to be funded, because a lot of that money that's being sent into those campaigns for Democratic Party officials and Rhino Republicans to give to their spouses comes from. So, but George Santos's own treasurer, where all these, who was running all of these financial crimes that allegedly he was committing, she was doing all these things. Her name's Nancy Marks. She got 2 years of probation, the person who actually committed the crimes. But since George Santos, even though he's gay, even though he's married to a man, his liberty score was really high. It went like 90% for Trump. And actually he was mentored by Thomas Massie and was very close friends with Matt Gaetz. But he did some lying about himself. He said he had this, he said he had that, and he didn't. But he was charged with, these are his crimes, wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. And it really has to do with nothing more than regenerative giving on his website. That people were on there and it did direct withdrawals out of their accounts or whatever else. And he spent some campaign money on Botox. That's all he did. People are like, he did this, or he did. No, that's all that he did. His money. Listen, if you committed this giant crime, would you be court ordered to only have to pay back $600,000? You're going to go to prison for three point 7.3 years is what it says under the BOP. 7.3 years because of aggravated identity theft? What does that even freaking mean? And wire fraud, and it's all campaign finance. And the most that he has to pay back is $600,000. AOC has $1 million missing right now with not one investigation. Not one day of an investigation has occurred with AOC's missing 1 million, but Santos goes to prison for 7.3 years. And I am strongly advocating for the Trump administration, not to pardon him, but commute his sentence. And of course, this trial was in a district court in New York. So if you are a Republican, you're going to prison for 7 years. If you're a Democrat, you're completely acquitted and they don't even allow in incriminating evidence into your trial, as they don't allow in exculpatory evidence if you're a Republican who's the subject of the trial. And here's the thing. You know what the total amount of misused funds was? $55,000. 7 years in prison for $55,000? Listen, guys, I arrested a guy for cutting another man's throat. And he was out in 3.5 years.
Yeah,
I mean, you should have seen the blood all over the Hoosier Bar in South Sarasota County. So he was out in 3 years. Santos, 7.3 years for that? This is how corrupt it is. Now, let me show you a couple things before we go. Chief Nerd tweet. Chief Nerd tweet. Metadata embedded in the video and analyzed by Wired and independent video forensics experts shows that rather than being a direct export from the prison surveillance system, talking about the Epstein footage, the footage was modified, shocking, Iron.
Mm, yeah.
Likely using professional editing tool Adobe Premiere Pro. The file appears, but don't worry, it also says metadata shows the FBI's raw Jeffrey Epstein prison video was likely modified. There's no evidence, though, the footage was deceptively manipulated. No. Then why would you modify it at all?
Correct.
The file appears to have been assembled from at least two source clips. Saved multiple times. And by the way, remember we were told there was no video footage until there was video footage and nobody even questions it. Saved multiple times, exported, then uploaded. And Aaron told me this a while ago. It's like whenever we show you like grainy, crappy video on the podcast here, it's because it's been edited, uploaded, downloaded, reposted. So it ends up being like whenever you, like, if you were to take like genetic material, the more you use it, the more it degrades. Same thing here with digital footage. And then uploaded the DOJ's website where it was presented as raw footage. Bold-faced lies. Bold-faced lies coming right from Pam Bondi. Yep. Right from Pam Bondi. So let's do a couple of these. All right, the Vigilant Fox video. 10 shocking stories the media buried recently. Play for me.
So let me tell you, I know for a fact documents are being suppressed. And they're being suppressed to protect individuals. I know the names of the individuals. I know why they're being suppressed. I know who's suppressing them. But I'm bound by confidentiality from a judge and cases. And I can't disclose what I know. But I hand to God. I know the names of people whose files are being suppressed in order to protect them. And that's wrong.
Just out of curiosity, without names, are these politicians, business leaders, both?
They're everything. And let me tell you, a lot of them are, at least one of them is somebody who was accused. Others are accusers. And the judges have said, if somebody calls themselves a victim, we're not going to give any information about them. But they may not be victims. They may be perpetrators. So we don't have information about false accusers. And we know there have been many false accusers who have accused innocent people for money. And those records are being deliberately, willfully suppressed. And they shouldn't be suppressed. If the accusation is allowed out, so should the material that diminishes the credibility of the accuser. We want total transparency on this. Every single document, no redaction. That's what I've said from day one. I waive any of my rights of privacy. Anything there is about me, I'm happy because it will be exculpatory, because I know I haven't touched a woman other than my wife from the day I met Jeffrey Epstein. I don't even hug people, but I was falsely accused and I was able to prove it. And I was able to prove it through documents. And I want other people to be able to disprove false accusations through documents. But these documents are being suppressed and withheld.
Verse all you hear all the time on this podcast is John chapter 3, verse 20. Everyone practicing evil hates light, does not come to the light, lest their deeds be exposed. Release it. Dershowitz was actually falsely accused by Virginia Giuffre, who then retracted her accusation. And you're like, well, how do you believe one thing that she says? Well, that's the people that they recruit. She was a very damaged person going in. So again, whenever you're dealing with people, you're dealing with percentages. You could trust her some of the time, but not all the time. You could probably trust her most of the time. And she certainly was in a picture with Prince Andrew. So that was absolutely true, with Ghislaine Maxwell in the background. So he's just simply saying release it all, because it's exculpatory for many who are falsely accused like he was. So, and again, see, that's also a CIA Mossad tactic, is to hold back information so you can say we have information on you that we don't actually have. So that all needs to stop. And it's like Bannon said. And again, people are like, stop talking about Epstein. Okay, well, you're going to call Steve Bannon and tell him the same thing. You're going to not watch the War Room, because basically the War Room is dedicated to all things Epstein today. Are you, I mean, is that what you're going to do? So, I mean, Bannon said today from Turning Point was, we need to find out who's actually running this world, okay? We need to find out who's running this country and who's running this world. And if Epstein files show that it's not, nobody in the files has anything to do with governance, industry, or any sort of authoritarian control of this world, or the WEF, or anybody at the controls of our economy, fine. Fine. It has nothing to do with CIA, Mossad. Fine. Release it all. Release it all. The only person you prosecuted, her case has come to fruition. She is in federal prison. But how can she be in federal prison without any clients to have trafficked underage women too? Let's go to the next one. Ian Malcolm, 84 video. Five must-know facts on Epstein and Israeli connection. Play it for me.
Here's five fun facts about Jewish Jeffrey Epstein. Number one, Epstein, in addition to his island, of course, had a palatial New York row house, which was endlessly visited by world leaders, including Ehud Barak, the former prime minister of Israel, and countless others. Now, what's curious about that row house is that his next-door neighbor while there, again to Jeffrey Epstein, was none other than Howard Lutnick, the Jewish individual who is Donald Trump's Secretary of Commerce. So one of the most powerful people of the Trump administration was living next door to Jeffrey Epstein. Number two, Ghislaine Maxwell, the famed right-hand woman of Jeffrey Epstein, also Jewish, is of course photographed endlessly with people like Donald Trump, with Elon Musk, with Hillary and Bill Clinton. Ghislaine also, of course, was at the wedding of Chelsea Clinton. Very curious. And Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert, was not only an Israeli super spy, there's an entire book about his esteemed life doing so and spying on behalf of Mossad and Israel, but also a billionaire whose personal friend, Samuel Pazar, happens to also be the stepfather to none other than Secretary Anthony Tony Blinken, who under the Biden administration, many people claimed was running the country. Joe Biden's children, all married Jews. Kamala Harris married a Jew, but the person running the country not only was Jewish, but also a longtime family friend of none other than Robert Maxwell, father of Ghislaine. Number three, Peter Thiel, who many individuals recognize as the groomer of J.D. Vance. Not only did he fund his rise to political prominence, but also employed him at multiple companies prior to doing so. Now, Peter Thiel, obviously the funding behind Palantir with its Jewish CEO, Alex Karp, which was recently given massive contracts from the government to build databases on all U.S. citizenry, which should give us pause. But prior to Palantir, Peter Thiel was involved in endless Silicon Valley startups, including Carbine 911, which on its board of directors included Ehud Barak, who we previously mentioned visited Jeffrey Epstein's home, and in addition, also had monetary ties to none other than Jeffrey Epstein himself. Not only is the Trump and Vance administration tied directly to Epstein, but so was the Biden administration, the Trump administration, the Obama administration, and all the way back to the Clintons. So for 25 plus years, this has been a developing, blossoming relationship. Now, in the present, why aren't we seeing these files released? Why aren't we seeing these people investigated? Ash Patel, whose girlfriend, prior to meeting Cash at a formal function, who happens to be half his age, 1,000 times his beauty, happened to work for PragerU, whose senior-most leadership of all places prior to PragerU was working for Israeli 8200 Mossad, the literal intelligence agency of the Israeli government. Rather curious. Which brings us to number five, which is the extended Blinken family. Because not only are the Blinkens directly connected to Robert Maxwell and family through Samuel Pizarro, we have Tony Blinken's wife, Evan Riley, whose grandfather is none other than James Rowley, the individual who was the head of the Secret Service during the Kennedy assassination. So what do we have? We've got world leaders that at every angle are tied into what appears to be a blackmail, bribery, espionage, and in some cases, a assassination brigade that are out and at every turn have subverted the U.S. politicians and the U.S. government for the exclusive benefit of the nation of Israel, which might be why the United States has been doling out endless dollars, not only to Israel, but also to Jewish leaders the world over, including Zelensky over in Ukraine, as well as Keir Starmer in the U.K., both of those individuals Jewish, as well as the world leaders who are now in charge of El Salvador, Panama, Venezuela, Mexico, and countless other South and Central American nations, even those where Jews might not be more than one in every 50,000 citizens. So what do we have for Epstein? We have basically what looks like a Jewish intelligentsia that have been utilizing the Epstein Island as the latest rendition of the same blackmail, espionage, and bribery game that has been in effect all the way back to the assassination of JFK, which many mark as the turning point at which the United States was completely subverted by the nation of Israel and Jewish supremacy.
So here's the thing. It has nothing to do with being anti-Semitic. Nothing. It has to do with what is in fact true. Is everything, Aaron, is everything in that video true?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So it's not about, oh, you're an anti-Semite because I'm telling you where Jewish people are stationed and where they work and what they've done. So if I do that, if I do the same video with connections to the WEF and everybody involved is white, then I'm what, a racist against white people? Or if everybody's Christian, then I'm anti-Christian? Or if maybe everybody's got a Catholic background, if I do an expose on the abuses in the Catholic Church, does that make me anti-Catholic? No, it makes me a fact teller. Everything in that video is factual data. It's not a matter of being anti-Semitic. It has to do with who's influencing the country. That's exactly what Bannon said from Turning Point today. He said it more in a subliminal way than I'm willing. I mean, he did it more subliminal way. I'll just come out and black pill say it. Okay, because we need to be watching who it is, whether it's AIPAC money, $200 million of AIPAC money funneled into Donald Trump's campaign. I mean, come on. We don't need to have a tail wagging the dog situation. Here's an interesting video here. I didn't mean to go this long tonight, but I'm going to go this a little bit longer on this because we're already into it. So this is I have no idea how to pronounce this person's name. It's Furkan Guzakara video. Salute to George Galloway. Let's look at some facts here. Play it for me.
You're not allowed to have a DNA test in Israel. There are Chinese Jews. I've met them. There are Vietnamese Jews. I've met them. They're not native to the land of Palestine. There are African Jews. They're not native to the land of Palestine either. There are Ashkenazi Jews who are entirely European in their DNA. That's why you're not allowed to have a DNA test in Israel, because it will reveal that virtually none of them are Semitic. Virtually none of them have any ancestral connection to the land. I was viciously assaulted by a manager in the BBC who had recently converted to Judaism. It's fine. I love all religions. But you can't say I've now converted to Judaism and therefore I have a right to go to the land of Palestine and live in the house of someone whose ancestors have been living in it for thousands of years again.
I mean, how can you be anti-Semitic when the person you're anti is not Semitic? I mean, I hope everybody is seeing the truth because everything is a lie. Everything you've been told is a lie. I mean, again, you have Ted Cruz on the podcast with Tucker Carlson says, you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Out of the book of Genesis, right? Okay, none of the people living there are in fact the nation of Israel. I mean, I'm sure there's exceptions, But hardly any of them are exceptions. Let's go to the next one. I got to show you this, and then we're going to go back to Israel. PBD podcast video. Israel tried to bug the CIA. Play for me.
When you were a CIA officer and you guys worked with Intel, you're like, hey, when I was going to Sudan or I don't know, whatever city, Kirak, okay, where were you?
Khartoum,
yeah. Hey, you're going there at 3 p.m. today. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm going there. Boom. Okay. And we got an intel from a Saudi intel, you know, from this, from that. What other intel agencies did you guys work with that collectively amongst each other, you're like, dude, I work with those guys. I don't trust them at all. And which intel agencies did you work with? You're like, you know, I think those guys are fair. Who did you not at all trust, even though you had to work with them?
The Israelis.
You didn't trust them?
Not as far as I could throw them.
You, or was that a cultural thing?
It was cultural. But in my very first encounter with the Israeli intelligence service, the Mossad, was I was a brand new analyst. This is like March of 1990. And I was instructed to participate in a large-scale briefing of the Israeli Mossad and Shin Bet representatives in Washington. And we don't allow the Israelis into CIA headquarters because they would always come with gifts, and the gifts had always listening devices packed inside them. And, you know, somebody brings you a gift, you x-ray it. It's the normal process. And we're like, you guys can't keep coming back here every single time trying to bug our conference rooms. So no more. So,
and was it easy to x-ray and see that they had bugs in them?
Yeah.
What percentage of the time did gifts have bugs in them?
100%.
Be quiet.
No, seriously.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely not. I wish I was.
100% of the time they brought gifts that had bugs in them.
Yeah. And we're like, okay, no more. You can't come on campus anymore.
Will you guys joke about it with them? You're like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What is this? We so was say, it like
come
a
on,
joke?
Come on, you guys. No, no, they were serious. They were hoping one would slip through. So we had a safe house in Virginia, and we would meet with them there. So I'm one of like eight analysts at the time. And because I was the junior most analyst, I went last. So, you know, the political analyst, the econ analyst, the oil analyst, the military analyst, they all take their turns. And it comes to me. And because I was overt at the time, I used my true name. So I said, my name is John Kiriakou, and I'm going to brief you today on Saddam Hussein's state of mind. And the Mossad guy, his glasses were like this. And he says, spell your name. So I spell it. And then in front of all my colleagues, he says to me, you are Jewish? And I said, I am not recruitable. I am not recruitable. Don't even think about it. I was so furious that he was ready to cold pitch me right there in front of all my colleagues. Like, let's have lunch afterwards. Like, get out of here, moron. Try to recruit me in front of everybody.
And let me just address this because I see it going on in the chat here. Because I've seen these videos, so I can pay attention to the chat a little bit when we're watching. We got the videos on. You're like people are not people, but somebody's saying, and God bless you. I mean, you're like focus on Islam. We already have. You must not watch the podcast very much. We've already done all that. Here's another section on Islam right here that I just didn't get to tonight. It's not the hottest topic right now. Epstein is. So Epstein's ties to Israel. I've got the Wall Street apes. This man lives next to Minneapolis five times a day. Has to listen to the call to prayer. Michael McCarthy, child brides in Europe. That's all about Islam. 60 children rescued. Sharia law is tailor-made for pedophiles. It's whatever is true is what we talk about here. It's not about, I side with Muslims over Israel. I certainly don't.
No.
Okay, if I had to pick one, I'm picking Israel over any Muslim country, just so you know. But I'm just saying, what's true about Israel? That right there, Karakara or something like that is his last name. I can't remember his first name. The guy was just talking on PBD podcast. That's a former CIA op. That is a CIA officer talking about 100% of the time Israelis brought gifts into the CIA, which why are you bringing gifts to the CIA in Langley, Virginia to begin with, were bugged. Except the facts. Yes, it's not, I'm focusing on Israel. Jews, Jews, Jews. No, that's exactly what's factual. That's what I focus on. We have showed hundreds of videos that are anti-Muslim. Believe me, you couldn't be any more anti-Muslim than me. True. I'm only one who actually, I'm not the only one, but I mean, really I am because a lot of people just won't say it. I'll just tell you, I am anti-Islam. I am anti the Islamic faith 100%. I'm not saying that to equivocate. I'm saying that here's the deal. We say what is true on this podcast, no matter who it offends. You know, listen, I'll give this, I'll do the commercial now since it's so late. But if you really want to be offended, watch me preach on Sunday morning. Aaron's perfect with the timing. watch me preach on Sunday morning. Because I'm going to preach to you the truth out of the Word of God. If that means you're going to hell, you're going to hear it. If that means you're going to heaven, you're going to hear it. No matter what it is, you're going to hear it coming out of the Word of God. That's what you say. That's what you preach, what is true. Is it true about Israel where you got kind of a tail wagging the dog situation here? We just bombed Iran at Israel's behest, okay? That needs to be addressed. Epstein was obviously a Mossad agent, along with a CIA agent, and probably an MI6 agent also. So you just, whatever's true is what we preach here. Here's an interesting one. Israel exposed video. Owen Schroyer speaking. Every single name in Israel. That's hyperbolic, but it's interesting. Play it for me.
I would bet you, if you did a DNA test for all the Palestinians and a DNA test for all the Israelis, the Palestinians have more actual genetic ties to that landmass than the Israelis, who are mostly Eastern European. This is every prime minister of Israel. First one, David Gurion, real name David Grun, born in Poland. Next one, Mashi Sheret, real name Mashi Shertok, born in Ukraine. Then Levi Eshkol, real name Levi Skolanik, born in Ukraine. Next one, Yigal Alon, real name Yigal Pikovich. Next one, Golda Meir, real name Golda Mabovich, born in Ukraine. Next one, Manachin Begin, real name Mazi Chekslaw Begum, born in Ukraine. So I can go on and on and on. Almost every single one of them has a fake name, and nearly every single one of them is actually from Eastern Europe. Even Netanyahu's real name is Milakovsky.
Benjamin Milakovsky. I mean, what's true is true. Everyone practicing evil hates light does not come to light lest their deeds be exposed. Don't hate the truth. Just because the truth, if the truth speaks against your theology is wrong. If the truth speaks against your philosophy is wrong. If the truth speaks against your political philosophies, then your political philosophies are a lie. If the truth is against any area of your life, bow to the truth. What's true is actually true. If the truth speaks against your political ideology, then you know what? Your political ideology is wrong. It's just like if you're a Democrat and you say, when you butcher an unborn child inside the womb, it's not a human. Is that true? No. Well, the truth just crucified your own political ideologies. So you ought to bow to the truth. And Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What's true is true. That's John 14:6. What's true is true. Bow to what is true. Not if it bothers me, it can't be true. You know what have been some of the most profound things that I've ever heard in my life were the things that bothered me the most, that hurt me the most, that destroyed my self-image the most. But you know what you do? If it's true, it's true, and you bow to the truth, and you adjust your life to what's true. You don't adjust the truth to your life. Amen. A little preaching at the end. All right, love you guys. Appreciate you. Rumble Rants. Nate Dad won $20. Robin Aroni, $5. Listen, do join us Sunday morning, 10 Eastern time at Foundation Church. If you want a church that's just like this podcast, never closed for COVID, never pimped and whored for COVID, never vaccinated, never masked, this is your church. And don't go to a church that did any of those things and hasn't publicly apologized in absolute humble repentance. Don't go to a church if they have never apologized for doing those things. But anyway, love you guys. Appreciate you. If I don't see you Sunday morning, I'll see you Monday. Oh, stick around for the post game. If I don't see you Sunday morning, I'll see you Monday night, 9 o'clock. As always, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fun happening over the weekend. Love you guys. God bless you.